Welcome to the Science and Soul of Healing. I'm your host, Dr. Heather Paulson. Today, we're talking about embodying the divine with healing, love, and light with Beth Leone. Beth is the creator of the Priestess Path and the Summer of Shamanism. She is a fifth degree black belt in the Shaolin Kung Fu tradition and the first female master in the United Martial Arts Association of America. She has been trained by masters and grandmasters in the healing arts and the martial arts and Taoist cultivation arts. Today, Beth will be talking about Taoist mystery practices for improved health, the science behind love, light, and healing, and how your thoughts can actually transform your DNA. Let's welcome Beth Leone.
Hi, and welcome to the Science and Soul of Healing Summit. We're so grateful that you've joined this conversation today. And I'm also super grateful to have Beth Leone with us here today. And Beth, I'd like to get started by asking you a little bit about how you found yourself on this path of connecting spiritual healing and physical healing together.
It's a good question, Heather. So I started the path early on in life. The first memories that I have about working with energy healing was when I was 5 years old. And my mother, who is a nurse practitioner, she would ask me to heal her headaches. So I would put my hands around her head in her energy field, and she would just ask me to focus on taking her headache away. So that's the first memory I have of working with energy healing. My mother is the one that really nurtured this ability early on, and she told me to surround myself with light and when I was scared. And I remember one time we were on a family vacation and our car broke down in the desert. There was nobody else around on this desert road. And so my mom said to my brother and I, she said, okay, send light to the engine of the car and see it starting. And sure enough, the car started. So it was nurtured early on, and I always had this in my life. And when it really strongly kicked in was when I needed to heal an illness that I had. I had a severe eating disorder that began at around age 15, and I was hospitalized for it. And after Western medical treatment, I was worse. So I needed to know how to heal the soul, because I did know that it was my soul that was sick. And then I was led to shamanic practices. So around the time of 18, I started my shamanic practice, like learning shamanism and working with it. And it was at that time when I had a miraculous healing from the spirits. And so I definitely knew at that time the connection between spiritual, physical healing. And then I dedicated my life to this path.
That's amazing to have a mother who guided you in that way. It seems kind of odd to me that a nurse practitioner would be teaching her children how to send love and light to a car engine. What was her background, and how did that lineage get started even in your mother? Do you know?
Well, that's a really good question that I would really love to ask my mother, exactly the origins of that. I just have this faint memory of there was a year when I lived with my father, my brother and I lived with my father, and my mother lived in California for a year. And it had something to do with California, like the events that occur here in California are very progressive. And I just remember at that time, she really began to teach me a lot more about using the light. However, when I was 5 years old, this was before she had moved to California, I don't know where she got that, to tell you the truth, where she started to ask for that. I'll have to ask her.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And you mentioned shamanism as being a turning point for your personal health. What does it mean to you to be a shaman? Because I know that word kind of gets thrown around a lot in energy healing circles, and a clear definition isn't always followed. What is that?
Well, I'll give you the exact definition of what a shaman is.
Yeah.
Because the exact definition comes from the language where that word comes from. So the word shaman is a Tungus Siberian tribe word. So it's from the Tungus tribe, and it literally means one who sees in the dark. So it means one who sees that which is unseen. So the word shaman is a Siberian name for somebody who sees into the spirit world. The name has become popular, and a lot of people use it, I think, egotistically. I would never call myself a shaman. I call myself a shamanic practitioner, and that's how I was taught to call myself. So shamans are people that are really from Siberia, to tell you the truth. They're not Native Americans. They're not people from the rainforests of Peru. They're people in Siberia. And it has just become a convenient word to describe somebody who works with this body of knowledge, because there is a core body of shamanic knowledge that is taught. My first teachers were Michael Harner and Sandra Ingerman of the Foundation for Shamanic Studies, and I began in 1988. And they really, Michael Harner established, he brought shamanism to the Western world and popularized it. So it was from that time now that, you know, so many people are calling themselves shamans. And I was just told that, no white person, Westerners, really should be calling themselves shamans. But it's a core body of knowledge that comes from shamanic cultures. So when we talk about shamanic cultures, we definitely mean the culture in Siberia, the healing spiritual culture in Siberia, because that's where the word comes from. And we are also putting in there too the South American culture of spiritual healing that works also with plant medicines and works very close with the spirit world. So then we're talking about Shipibo, Kanibo, Hivaro, Ashaninka, because Michael Harner studied with Shipibo and Kanibo, and so, and Hivaro. So he brought that back. And so now that's kind of lumped into shamanism, and then Native Americans kind of are in there. So it's, I don't know what you call that word, colloquial or something, when it's become very widely known.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it's like a traditional soup where you just kind of throw everything in that works towards the greater healing of whoever needs it. When you talked about tapping into the spirit world, and you've been taught by so many different lineages, and tapping into the spirit world can mean so many different things. So what kind of things do you use to tap into the spirit world, or what kind of things are happening in the spirit world that relates back to physical healing and what's going on with somebody in the present time?
Well, I have a saying that I like to say, which is, we are eternal souls on an eternal timeline. So if we identify with ourselves as spirit that is on an eternal timeline that doesn't, you know, stop in this lifetime, then it puts many things into perspective. In the shamanic worldview, it's believed that healing is a gift from the spirits and from spirit, and that it's by a sincere request of the spirits for healing, and usually somebody working on your behalf, somebody asking for you, that the spirits take compassion on us and we are healed. Now, I had a completely different subject for this talk, but I love, so shamanism is my first love. I love it. And then, yes, I've been trained by so many masters that I have a whole Taoist history. And the title of my talk this afternoon is Taoist Practices of Healing with Love and Light. Really, I do want to get into this practice of healing with love and light and what that is, and bringing the science into it as well, because I know that it can just be so woo-woo if we just talk about spiritual healing and working with the spirits, and it sounds nice, you know, but what is the real hardcore science of healing? And there are some strong scientific studies that show the power of the simplicity of love and light to heal. So when we're talking about spiritual healing, we're really talking about healing with love and light. And if you broaden your worldview and you include eternal life, let's say, and you include that plants and trees and animals all have spirit, then we can connect with everything around us. We can connect with the plants, the consciousness of the plants. We connect with the consciousness of the trees, the clouds, and the animals, and we can ask them if they would take compassion on us and help us to heal. And that really is a product of love. It's love from the spirit world. So spiritual healing implies a belief in the spirit world, which implies a broadened idea of what this life is and who we are and our relationship to all things. So there's that spiritual healing aspect. And then we can come down, because science has now studied the effect of love and light on DNA and our cells and biological tissue, that now we have hardcore scientific studies that prove love and light heals. So I did want to share with your listeners some very practical scientific studies, and then a couple simple practices that they can do to establish this love and light in their being now.
Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, because it does feel a little woo-woo. And I think, love and light is something that has been kind of esoterically taken as like sending you love and light. It's like Facebook and stuff. But yeah, share with us, how is that a real tangible thing?
Okay. Oh, first I'm going to share how love heals. And love is scientifically proven to repair DNA. I'm going to talk about that study. There's two scientists that I refer to when I talk about the healing power of love. And the first one, we all know, the beloved Masaru Emoto and his work with water, proving that our consciousness and our intention affects the crystalline structure of water itself. And we are about 75% water and everything around us. So if you hold this glass of water right here and send love to it, and then you freeze these water crystals and you look at them under a microscope, you'll see this beautiful snowflake structure, just gorgeous. And if I say thank you, I'll see a different but similarly gorgeous symmetrical structure. Conversely, if I send hatred to this water, or if I actually use my voice to say something hateful and mean, then the water structure turns into this ugly, misshapen blob when it's frozen and looked at under the microscope. And so that's proving the effect of our thoughts, intentions, and words on things. So love, the way that love heals in this particular case, is it restores this perfect structural order. I love those studies. And there is another one that is equally profound from Dr. Glenn Ryan. And he has done work with the HeartMath Institute. And Dr. Glenn Ryan studied placental DNA. And what he did was he took the some placenta from a woman who had given birth, and he gave that to a particular person, a different person than the one that had given birth. And he said to this one person, send hateful energy, to this tissue, send hateful energy, say hateful things. And then he looked at the tissue under the microscope, and the DNA had been breaking apart and dying. It was in the process of dying, and it was killing the tissue. And then he gave this same dying tissue to somebody else, a different person, and he said, send love to this tissue. So the person sends this strong love to this tissue, and what they found was the DNA began to repair itself and to restore order immediately. It was immediately healing DNA. So this is a profound example of how love heals, and how the love of another person heals somebody, because it was not the woman who gave birth doing the hate or the love. They were different people. That's very profound and powerful, and it connects to the free gift that I'm going to share with everybody at the end of this interview. I have a gift that will help you to establish this love inside of your own being and begin that process of keeping your health or establishing health.
So that's about establishing love within our own selves. What about the light aspect?
Okay. So love and light. So light heals. It's another thing. First, I'm going to talk about the fact that DNA absorbs light. So it's really interesting to note that science has shown that DNA literally sucks in photons from all around us, and a thousand photons to be exact. There's a scientist, Fritz Albert Popp, who did studies with DNA and light. And what is interesting about Fritz Albert Popp's studies is he began studying carcinogens. And he studied carcinogens' relationship to light. And what he found was that all carcinogens suck in light from this particular nanometer, 380 nanometers, which is the nanometers that our DNA absorbs. It sucks it in, it scrambles it, and it spits it out, scrambled. And so our DNA is unable to absorb the light. So the conclusion is that all carcinogens scramble the light that the DNA would receive. And so then the DNA is not able to suck in light anymore. So the DNA is not able to get the information from the light that would tell them to stop that replication of cells, because light carries information. That's another interesting study, scientific study, that has been shown with frog eggs and salamander eggs, and light was shined in through the frog eggs into the salamander eggs, and the salamanders turned into frogs. Light carries information. So it's very important that we get light into our DNA, light in the UV spectrum, technically. The light in the UV spectrum goes into our DNA, carries information, and helps our DNA to have the information it needs to keep things regulated. So the inside of the body is dark. So how do we get light to the inside of the body? We can get light on the outside of the body easily from the sun, but it's a lot harder on the inside. And so the key point to getting light, photons, to the inside of the body is through food. Because what they've shown is that the human tissue emits, I was actually doing the research, I was told by somebody that it emits 10 photons per square inch, but as I was just doing the research, it might be 100, but we do know that plants emit 1,000 photons per square inch. So by putting fresh, raw plants and vegetables into our body, it emits the photons inside of our body. And so the inside of our body receives light, and then the DNA receives light, and then the cells can have this information. So that's how light heals. Mm-hmm. So love and light literally do heal. There's science to prove it.
That's awesome, because like I said, that is kind of in some esoteric groups, sending love and light does kind of just roll off of people's tongues, but it's so great to really concretize that in mm-hmm. science and physical practice. And to add to that light that you're talking about with the food, they can mm-hmm. actually measure the changes on your skin when you eat really light mm-hmm. and bright food as well. It actually, makes your face look different in before and after pictures, which is kind of amazing too.
Clearly, if anybody has ever done a cleanse or has eaten raw food for an amount of time, you'll notice that your skin becomes literally brighter. There's more radiance. There's more light literally emitting from your body, from the inside of your body. And this is part of the science of the radiance that occurs. And so just think about it, because I know that there's a lot of listeners here. Just think about your diet and how many processed foods are in your diet, meaning how many foods have not come right out of the garden and onto your table. Because the moment we pick a food out of the garden, it begins to lose its life force energy. And we don't even really know how long it's been on the shelf from our health food store even before we get it, but at least we can do that. But the best thing would be your backyard garden that you're getting some food from right there. It's going to have the most radiant photon density available. So just think about how many processed foods are in your diet that have been, they're just dead essentially. And how much of your diet is coming right out of that garden. And that's really a big, big key to getting that light in the body.
Mm-hmm. What are some other practices that you would recommend for getting light mm-hmm. or love into these dark spaces in our body?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there's a really beautiful practice from the Taoist tradition, and it's really simple. And I call it eating the sun. So the other day I went on a run here. I live in the mountains of California. I went on a run and I timed it right at the sunset. And when the sun gets to a certain point on the horizon, it's not so intense. This is the time when we do these Taoist practices of eating the sun. And they're done either in the morning or in the late evening when you can look at the sun. So you're looking at the sun and you're imagining that you're inhaling the light of the sun. You actually have your mouth open and you imagine you inhale the light of the sun all the way down into what we call the lower dantian, or you can imagine your womb space for a woman, or that basin, we call it the brass basin of the pelvis. So you see the light of the sun going all the way down on the inhale, and on the exhale you can see it making a sun in your belly. That's called the golden sun ball. And so in the Taoist practice is to open your whole body up and to imagine it going in. Once you can do that, you can have more ideas. You imagine it coming into your third eye. You imagine it coming down here. You imagine it coming into the palms of your hands. So your entire body is just soaking in the sunlight. That's a really ancient practice. Also, the practice of getting sun on parts of our body that don't normally get sun, and you can use your imagination, which ones are those? Whatever ones you usually always put clothes on, there are practices of opening that up to the sun. So opening your yoni up to the sun, your breasts up to the sun. And in the Taoist tradition, technically, every single part, you would even turn around and, you know, open up your derriere to the sun as well, because the Taoists are into the sun, they're into light, and they're into love. And I want to share with you the inner smile meditation. This is people's free gift if they, that's the inner smile meditation, if they sign up for the free gift. And what the inner smile meditation is all about is establishing love inside of our body, because the Taoists already knew thousands of years ago that love heals. And so the very first thing that they, you know, do and then have handed down to us to do is establish a state of love inside of our own body, so that every part of our body that we are looking to, whether we're meditating or training in Qigong or the martial arts, we're sending love to that part of our body, and love heals, as I just talked about with Masaru Emoto and Dr. Glenn Ryan. So the inner smile is a very simple meditation, and the one that I share on the free gift is only 2.5 minutes long. Really simple to do. You can do it just in and of itself, or you do it before you train in a conscious exercise like yoga or Qigong, and you're training with love. I have a lot of, look at all these are the little exercises that I want to share with you. I want to share the Taoist breast massage exercise. I'm going to share about it. I'm not going to show it to you, but I want to share it. Oh, I'll tell you where to get it though. I do have a product. You can see it if you want. It's not me, but it's a model that I'm showing. The Taoist breast exercise. It's a self-massage exercise for women. Men can do it too if they want, but it's for women to keep their breasts healthy. And this massage technique has been brought down to us from the female Taoist masters. It's Qigong for the breasts. And the very first thing that we do is establish the inner smile before we do our self breast massage, because again, we're going to send love to our breasts. And then we heat the hands up when we fill the hands with warm chi. And then we simply breathe that chi and that love into our breasts, and we smile at our breasts, and we see our breasts as perfectly healthy. It's a powerful and profound beginning. Now, there's about 12 different massage techniques in the Taoist breast massage practice that massage the breasts for the purpose of keeping them healthy and keeping them in good shape, literally, because the Taoists also really loved to be young and beautiful. And so the Qigong exercises are very well known for keeping people young and good looking. They liked that. That's what it was for. Healthy, young, so longevity, and then they all have a spiritual aspect to them as well. But right now I like to focus just on the healing. So the breast exercises, very simple. If anyone actually wants to do them on their own, you can simply establish the inner smile, heat your hands up, send love to your breasts, and you can just do a few circles of inhaling and exhaling and inhaling and exhaling and moving the breast tissue around in loving circles. Really, really simple. And there's a product on my shop if you want to go deeper into that. And also, this is the book from one of my teachers that shares some details about the Taoist breast exercises in here, Taoist breast massage. I highly recommend this book. This is another book from a woman that I know. She is not one of my teachers, but I do know her, about her, Minka DeVos. This is written by a woman for women, so they'll also be in there. Having a practice of loving oneself, especially in these areas where we're seeing a lot of cancers. So breast cancer, as we know, is epidemic. Very, very important that you have a way where you can send love and light to your breasts. So you can sun your breasts, and putting in that high vibrational food inside of your body will get the light inside of your body. I have more. Okay, I want to talk about ovary massage, because the reproductive organs are another area that are often the target of dis-ease. And dis-ease is simply they are cells that are either replicating and they really shouldn't be replicating, or it's misshapen things. So this practice of sending love into the body is really profound. And also massaging, doing massage to areas that you wouldn't think about massaging, like the ovaries. So just as we send love into the breasts, it's a similar exercise when we do the ovary massage, like Taoist ovary massage. It's similar principles. It's sending love into the organ. And it's also allowing the organ to release any stagnant energy. Because in traditional Chinese medicine, you know that it's stagnant energy, which is, you know, the cause, I think, is the cause of most disease. Energy should move like water. And if energy becomes stagnant, it does the same thing that water does. When it's stagnant, it putrefies. So we need to keep our energy flowing. Well, what about your ovaries? What about your yoni? What about your vagina? What about your uterus? How do we keep the energy clear there, nourished, loved, and moving? And so the Taoists have given us practices for that. So there's ovary massage, which is another very simple practice, which you'll find in both of these books right here. And I'm just going to show you very simply so that if people don't go do their deep research, they can at least see it here. So how do you find your ovaries? I'm going to find them by making this position with my hands. My thumbs are going to go on my belly button. I'm going to create this, and then when I do this with my hands, then my ring finger, my pinky are over my ovaries. Now, if you're aware of your body, you'll know where your ovaries are, because when you ovulate, you will feel them. And if you want to put a little sticker on your body when you ovulate and you feel it, then you'll know where your ovaries are. It's very important that you know this stuff as a woman, because we are taking sovereign control of our body. So that's where your ovaries are. Now, the very first thing we do when we go to love and take care of our ovaries is just, I just put my hands over them like this first. And we take a few breaths, inhaling through the nose and exhaling through the mouth to let the ovaries relax and release any tension that's held inside of them. Because our body, when it's holding tension, it's stagnant energy. So we're going to release stagnant energy. And so we do about 8 breaths. Inner smile and sending love. And those loving breaths are just to let the ovaries relax and release. And then we do just some simple massage of the ovaries with love, with, you know, the inner smile. And it's just simply like this. So I take my hands and I do these circles like this, massaging the ovaries. And we do them 48 times. Do little circles, sending love to the ovaries, thinking about the ovaries, seeing them in the mind's eye is perfect. And that's a beautiful, simple exercise of loving the ovaries. It's amazing how these types of exercises will quickly transform the body, because most women don't have a practice of loving themselves, of sending love to their organs. So you can do this practice with any organ. You can do it with your liver. You can put your hands on your liver and take those cleansing breaths and imagine your liver relaxing and letting go of any tension, stress, dis-ease. Exhaling through the mouth is the cleansing breath. And then you can just lovingly massage your liver and send love and see it as perfect. It's the simplest self-healing way. Now you know the science of healing with love with Emoto and Ryan. So you're set, your rational mind hopefully can be satisfied with that. So it's definitely a established practice in all of Qigong. It's what we're taught to do, and it's a part of our Qigong life and lifestyle. We also work with yoni eggs. Yoni eggs are a way of bringing energy and consciousness into the vagina. The yoni, it's a way of preventing prolapsing of the vagina, prolapsing of the uterus, prolapsing of the bladder. That's all very basic, you know, health stuff. And then again, also keeping the energy flowing and alive. It's always good to have fresh, healthy life force energy in every single part of our body. So that's the simple part of it. Let's see what other exercise I might have to share here. That's a lot, actually, right there, those exercises. That's what I really wanted to share with people, because for women, I know that women, we really should have ways of consciously loving our bodies.
I thank you for sharing those practices. Those are wonderful gifts to everyone listening and watching this. It's amazing, because you're totally right, Beth. There is this disconnect between loving ourselves and having health and wellness. So that's fantastic.
I'd like to share a couple stories, and you're a part of one of them.
Yeah, please let us know. We would love to hear how this is playing out in real life.
So this story includes both angels and love and light. One of the things that I do is called angel songs, and I sing songs into people's bodies with the intention of bringing the love and the light from the angels into the person's body. And I came about this from really my shamanic practices and having connections with particular angels and then just having these songs come through me. So with the angel songs, there's a very practical component of angel songs, or of having the intention of sending love and light into somebody's body. So we already saw how powerful having the intention of love is with Dr. Glenn Ryan's studies on somebody sending love to placental DNA that was dying, and it repaired itself, came back to life. So we are very powerful. And where the power lies is in love. The stronger the love, the stronger the power. The stronger the love, the stronger the healing. So really cultivating the ability to feel love is very important for us, and if we are in a healing capacity for other people. So I would like you to share the story.
Sure. Well, I had a really profound healing experience with Beth, which is one of the reasons why I really wanted her to be one of the teachers featured in this summit and in this conversation. But I got to experience the Healing Angel songs firsthand. I had a bleeding disorder and had been bleeding for years on end, actually, and was having, I've worked with other healers where those other healers were able to help me to get the bleeding to stop using pranic healing and other energy work. But then once we kind of froze that energy there to stop losing life force out of hemorrhaging from the uterus, there was a lack of flow in that area. It was almost like we just froze it, you know? Mm-hmm. And Beth was so kind to offer to do a healing session for me and with me and sing the angel songs into the uterus, which doesn't sound quite like what it sounds like when I say it out loud.
I say into the womb.
Womb. But I'm a doctor, so I'm like, yes, uterus, ovary. Now I'm like comfortable with the medical terms. So womb, the energy space of the pelvis, which is like kind of singing to the abdomen, really. Because I don't know, when she's like, oh, I'll sing songs to your womb, I was like, okay, I'm thinking of my gynecology class, you know, like pap smears and stuff, because again, medical brain, I was like, okay, this might be kind of weird, but sure. But it was really just to my abdomen. But after that experience, actually, my menstrual cycles completely normalized. I started bleeding again, but in a normal way, not hyper bleeding like I was in the past, and started having normal menstrual cycles. And I didn't think that was possible for me anymore because of there being fear of over bleeding whenever my bleeding started, and then just having this kind of frozen energy in my pelvis.
Mm. It's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm so happy that I didn't even know that happened until I asked you. I think it was even like 4 or 5 months later.
Yeah.
But hey, how'd that go?
I just thought it was what you expected to happen. I just thought it was,
I have no idea what's going to happen when I do that kind of stuff. I forget about it, to tell you the truth. Because that's one of the things, is you just do your thing and then you let it go. You don't really know unless the person gets back to you. And so I'll just to say that it's so simple. Like, am I connecting with the angels? Well, they're called angel songs. I mean, maybe I am. And maybe I'm just imagining these really amazing, loving beings. And that love is channeling through me, and that light in the tone. See, the sound is really important too, because sound, tone carries an ordering principle. We know from the solfeggio frequencies that sound will organize matter either into something beautiful or into something not so beautiful. This is the key to all of it. It's organizing matter into something beautiful. This is what I call the God code. So God's intelligence is beautiful mathematics, perfection. God left alone creates the most beautiful things. So the body has its own intelligence. The body is connected to a grand intelligent field. And usually the only time that we have problems is when we interfere with that field. And so interference looks like holding on, stagnation, stress, things where we're like, you know, we're crushing this like beautiful symmetry that's already moving through the entirety of the universe. So sound and these beautiful pure sounds, and that's what I do with the angel tones, as I sing these particular tones. They're pure tones, I call them. They sound like singing bowls. And so I'm singing that pure tone into the body with love and light and just seeing perfection. And I want to add here one other thing. So one other story I wanted to share is that there was a medicineless hospital in Beijing, China, that worked with this very principle. They had qi healers, people who were well, you know, versed. They could really bring up the energy. And what they would do is they would chant a word that to them meant perfection. It was basically perfection, 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 perfection. And they chant this word to the part of the person where they have a tumor or a problem, and you can actually watch the tumor just completely disappear within the matter of minutes. Now, I will, anybody that also signs up for the free gift, the Inner Smile, I will send them a video where Greg Braden is talking. I'll just send you a link to this video where Greg Braden is talking about this and showing it, because it's really neat to know. It just establishes this fact that we are powerful beings. And our love is powerful. Our love can heal. This is really that one takeaway. I know you're going to ask a question about a takeaway. That's the takeaway that I would like people to have from today, is that you are a powerful being and that your love heals yourself and others. And so by cultivating that power within you, cultivating love, cultivating light, one of the best practices I know of is Qigong, to cultivate that love and that light and that power inside of yourself. Cultivate it. Do some of these practices where you are loving yourself. I do have a Qigong program. If you're interested in my Qigong program, it's also on my shop. You'll get all of these links if you're interested in connecting there. But I mean, there's probably Qigong in your area. There's Qigong everywhere. If you want to go that route, I'd like to connect you with that. And also honoring some of my teachers, I can also direct them to some of my teachers. Would you like me to do that?
Yes. Please share with us where this lineage comes from.
Okay. All right. So the teachers that I would like to direct you to for Qigong. Again, I have an online program. Fine. One of my teachers, who's actually my ex-husband, Michael Leone, who we established Zen Wellness together, and it's still running strong. It's actually in Arizona, where you live. Go personally, physically, to train in one of these centers if you can. If you live in Arizona, highly, highly suggest that, because this is how you can establish this practice of empowering yourself, a lifelong practice of loving yourself everywhere, your endocrine system, your muscles, your tendons, your organs, your energy field. So I suggest Michael Leone with Zen Wellness, and they have a really extensive online program as well. Grandmaster Sung Baek, who is a little harder to reach and maybe impossible to train with, he's one of my grandmasters, and so he's got the Taoist lineage going there, Taoist Qigong. He's the 75th grandmaster of a 4,000-year-old Taoist lineage, so he's, you know, he's intense. Him. Who else to train with? This woman here, Minka DeVos. I said she's not my teacher, but highly respected woman, and she's a woman. So it's good to train with a woman if you can, if you're a woman. That's for Qigong. So teachers for shamanism. I do have a small shamanic course. It's called the Summer of Shamanism. It'll come back around next summer. My teachers are Sandra Ingerman and Michael Harner. I want to honor them because Sandra Ingerman changed my life. Once I saw her, I knew that being a healer could be a way of life, and I committed myself to that. Michael Harner, who founded the Foundation for Shamanic Studies, you know, amazing man. And so the Foundation for Shamanic Studies is going strong, highly recommended. And then lastly, So I, when I studied the Taoist sexual healing arts, this is from Si Lai. So he is the author of these books. This particular lineage, the White Tigress lineage, is one of the only lineages held by female Taoist masters. So this sexual cultivation lineage, which is a lot of self-sexual cultivation, it's really taking care of one's own sexual energy, comes from the female masters. So I highly recommend his books. Again, he's another difficult person to get in contact with personally, but you can try, you know, if you want to personally do it. So some of them are accessible and some of them are not very accessible.
Gonna let the dog.
Exactly. Let the dog bark.
Okay, awesome. Those are some great resources. Thanks for sharing those, Beth. And since some of those resources in my own backyard, I'm definitely going to check those out when we get off this conversation. So I can continue to increase health and healing in my own life. And those of you listening and watching, like Beth said, there's so many resources around your local area to tap into those things that can help you heal. One of the things you mentioned, Beth, throughout this conversation is Taoist. And for some people, that might be a new word. Can you share a little bit of information on what the Taoist teachings are, what that particular tradition entails?
Yes. So Taoist comes from China. And the Tao simply means the all of the everything. So it's their word for spirit, God, and all things. So it includes, it's a very beautiful word that you, there's no other word that really says it quite this way, because it means creator, and it means all of creation, and it means the way to be in harmony with all of creation. So it includes this active component to one's life. And so the Taoists are ones who, they're really scientists and alchemists, and they're wondering, so what is this creation and how does it work and where do I come from and how do I create longevity and how do I create health? And so it's a very ancient, it's over 4,000 years old. There are texts from that long, you know, cave, you know, drawings and things. And the Taoists created practices to keep us healthy, to keep us young, and to cultivate our spirituality. They are responsible for Qigong. They are responsible for the martial arts, the Asian martial arts, so beautiful, Shaolin, Kung Fu, and Tai Chi. So it's a very, very rich heritage that comes from the Taoists, and they have given many gifts to this planet.
Thank you for sharing this lineage with us and allowing us to step into all of these different practices that are really easily accessible and available without any extra equipment or even that much additional training, but we appreciate the training that you're offering us. So definitely we'll have the link to Beth's training, to the Inner Smile training, to some of her other gifts. We'll have those links on her speaker page, and we'll be sending those out to you as well so that you can stay connected with Beth. Beth, do you have any other, you mentioned the summer shamanism, do you have any other upcoming projects as a way for listeners who are really resonating with this work to connect with you?
Well, my suggestion is to simply sign in to my website if you want to stay connected. I really run on inspiration, and I have been offering the Priestess Path training program for women to initiate women into the role and lifestyle of embodying the sacred wisdom and showing up as a leader to be a blessing, really, and remembering these ancient tools of priestessing death and priestessing birth and healing and doing ceremony and holding a role in society that is one of like sacred woman, medicine woman. So the Priestess Path is an offering that I give for women. And that has been going like once a year. And it, you know, its form may change, but it'll always be there. And as I am guided and inspired, I give different training offerings. So I just say, stay connected to find what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I look forward to staying connected and continuing to learn from you as a great teacher in this space of connecting the science of ancient healing traditions to our current present moment. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart with love and light. Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your teachings with us.
Love and light.
Whole new meaning.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. It was very fun.
Thanks for being a part of the Science and Soul of Healing. We're looking forward to hearing back from you with your aha moments, questions, and insights. Leave a comment on the page for this episode or on my Facebook page, Dr. Heather Paulson. I can't wait to continue this conversation with you. See you next time.